morning.
Welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning for our worship service. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer today, y'all. We'll be hosting or feeding the English as a second language class at First Baptist Church this Monday night. If anyone would like to help, be at First Baptist by 7:45 p.m. to help serve the meal for that. December the 9th, that is approaching fast. We'll have our community meal from 3 to 6 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table for desserts needed for the plates. If you can have the desserts here by noon on December 9th, we would appreciate it so we can get them prepared to go in the plates. Also, tickets are on the back table. They are in packets of 10. If you would take them, we've got plenty back there. If we run out, it won't take long. We can make more of them. But hand them out to people that you know or people that maybe would like to have the free meal on December the 9th. But if you will, keep count of how many you hand out and just let Brother Tim, Pastor Tim, know how many you give out. That'll kind of give us an indication of how much food we'll need for that night. But also remember, if someone doesn't get a ticket, they won't be turned away. But we would like to know, maybe of a count, the number of tickets that have been given out. So take them as you need them, hand them out, and share them with people in the community. Next Sunday, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Eastside, is a reception for Brother John Paul and his retirement. So I know everyone here knows Brother John Paul. I'm sure that he would love to see all of us or any of us that can attend that reception for him. January 22nd, that's on Monday at 6:30 p.m. is the Titus II Women's Ministry. Wednesday night, we need help with decorating the church after prayer meeting. So come to prayer meeting, and after church, we're going to decorate. Will we be putting up the Christmas tree?
We might.
Okay. Sister said we might. But we'll be decorating the sanctuary. I put her on the spot. It's an enjoyable time. So if you can, come to prayer meeting, and then afterwards we'll be decorating the church for Christmas. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll move into our prayer time. Remember Paul Crosby in your prayers. Also remember Larry and Donna McDaniel and their niece, Angie Freeman. They were on the way up there to Albany to the hospital. She's not doing well at all this morning. It was a tragic accident, if many of you may have heard, in Cochran, close to Moultrie, Thanksgiving Day. Five people lost lives in one van. We need to remember those families and all y'all. Also, Ms. Linda Hall has an appointment Thursday. Continue to remember her. And remember the Warren family. That's Pastor Tim's daughter, Ariel, one of her friends. Her dad passed away over the Thanksgiving holidays. And let's, you know, remember the Warren family. Any others, y'all, that we... Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We are thankful for this Thanksgiving season and Thanksgiving, Lord. And we want to just always come and praise you and glorify you, Lord. We know, Lord, but we also know many people will be traveling today, Lord. And Lord, we do just want traveling graces, Lord. We know that the roads and the air and the airs will be there will be be filled with planes, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for a safe return home for all our friends and families and others, Lord. But Lord, we do also just want to lift up the ones that we mentioned today, Paul and Angie Freeman and the Warren family and Miss Hall, Lord, and the ones that were lost their lives in the accident and near Moultrie, Lord. We just want to lift them up to you today, Lord. We know, Lord, that they can find comfort in you, Lord, and we know that you'll provide the comfort that they need, Lord. But Lord, we do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he stands before us. We're going to lift up our whole worship service as we begin today, Lord, and just come to praise and honor you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, we got a change of pace this morning. Our change in the first song. We're going to sing hymn number 467 to start with. So if y'all will stand with me, there shall be showers of blessings. Amen. We've been needing them and we've got them. So let's sing together all four stanzas.
Thank you.
offertory hymn. And if you notice in your bulletin, we're going to sing hymn number 384, The Bond of Love, to begin with. And then we're going to sing hymn number 386 right behind it, The Family of God. So if I get confused halfway through, you'll know why, okay? We'll do our best. Amen. Bond of Love. Take the Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 20. This morning I want to challenge us as a church. Because as you hear the title of my message this morning, you're going to think, well, I'm here. And I'm thankful you're here. But the holidays tend to have a pull on us. from Thanksgiving on through Christmas, because you have Thanksgiving and you have all the preparations, and then you've got all the planning for Christmas, and then a week after Christmas you have what? New Year's. And it's easy, because you say, well, it won't happen to me, but I'll explain to you this. You can say, well, I'm at church, and as I said, I'm glad you are. But what tends to happen a lot of times is you have family that comes in for holidays, and they don't necessarily want to go to church, so you don't want to feel like you're being rude to them, and so you do what? Stay home from church. I know y'all don't do that. You're here, right? But that happens, and then it happens again around Christmas, and then New Year's, and if you're not careful, you can look back at the beginning of the year and say, I haven't been in church, and you didn't intend to not be in church, but it happens. And after a while, when it happens, you know, they say you can do something about 21 times in a row, and it becomes a what? A habit. We can look back in our lives and realize that there's a lot of things we didn't intend to do, but we got stuck in maybe a bad habit and not done what we should have done, and it became a bad habit that has continued on, and you have to break that cycle somewhere. Today I'm going to speak on the subject of falling out of church. Falling out of church. And hear my heart on this. Because every single one of you knows somebody who used to be here. Amen? Now I know time goes by, loved ones pass away. I understand that, and they're not here. But there are many who used to fill the pews of this church and every other church in America. And as we look around, what has happened to them? Did they intend not to be in church? Did they just wake up one Sunday morning and say, I'm never going back? I don't think so. Not normally. There are times, there are things that happen in churches that cause division, and you know, instead of having forgiveness and reconciliation, we set off in factions and divisions, and we go our separate ways, and that's why there's so many churches around town, because one church member got mad at somebody else, and they said, we're just going to do what? We're going to start our own church, amen? And that happens in communities, and we all know it does. But in the book of Acts, there is a young man named Eutychus who was at a church meeting, a church gathering, much like we have here this morning. But in that church meeting, now they were on the third floor of the building, amen? That they were on the third floor of the building, and back then they didn't have electric lights or LED. They didn't put out much heat. They had candlelight or oil lamps, right? And there were a lot of these lamps in this upper room. And the Bible doesn't say so, because we're going to look at it in just a minute. But the Bible doesn't say so, but I believe there were a lot of people who were there to hear Paul's farewell sermon. It didn't say what time they started or he started preaching, but it says at midnight there was this young man who was sitting in the windowsill of the third story of that house, and he drifted off into a deep sleep. And the Bible tells us that when he fell asleep, he also fell out of church. You're going to catch on to this in a minute. So if y'all have a tendency to fall asleep during my preaching, I'll let you slide this morning, okay? But here is the thing. This man didn't intend to fall asleep. He didn't intend to fall asleep. He sure didn't intend to fall out of the building, because when he hit the ground, they thought he was dead. Amen? But you know what? Sometimes we do the same thing spiritually. We start dozing off in church. We start dozing off in our spiritual life. We start declining in our church attendance. We start declining in our relationship with the Lord. And it's not long after that that we are totally out of church. And in a real sense, we are dead, not spiritually, because once you're saved, you're always what?
Saved.
But your spiritual testimony can be ruined, because when you used to go to church every Sunday, and here again, hear my heart on this, because we tend to look around at the younger crowds and we say, why aren't they coming to church every Sunday? And hear me on this, because a lot of times they grow up in a church where it's not the priority for everybody in the church. And brother so-and-so ain't here half the time, and sister so-and-so ain't here half the time. They don't make it a priority, and so they're looking at their life and say, well, it must be okay not to be here. Right? Because that's what everybody else does. Not everybody, but you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. But we find ourselves in those situations because we don't realize we're teaching others to be slack in our dedication to the Lord, in our giving, in our tithing, in our service to the Lord. But it happens. I want us to read this passage. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, now on the first day of the week, what day was that?
Sunday.
And that's all another subject, because I have a good friend I went to high school with that asked me, why do we do it on Sunday instead of Saturday? Well, here's the reason. It's the first day of the week, not last day of the week. The Sabbath changed when Jesus resurrected from the tomb. Amen? Well, that's enough of that. When the disciples came together, that's what God's people do, right? They come together. Right? To break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Y'all thought I was long-winded. There were many lamps in the upper room where they gathered together. And a window sat a certain young man. This isn't a parable. This is a true story. A certain Jewish young man sat in the window. His name was Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, this is after midnight, right? This getting into the wee hours of the morning, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him. Now, when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak. He departed. That means Paul departed. But then listen, verse 12. And they, who is the they there? The they that is there in verse 12 is the church, you and I. You and I are the ones who are to go down and to bring those who have fallen out back. Amen? Look at what it says. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we have read this passage this morning, Lord, stir our hearts and our minds to hear what your Spirit says to us. Lord, help us not to be arrogant into thinking that this can't happen to us, because it can. And it only takes one time to start something that leads in the wrong direction. So Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, Lord, to love you, to be faithful to you, to be conscious, Lord, about what is going on around us, and even having the best intents, Lord, bad things can happen when we start dozing off spiritually. Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see the first thing in verse 7, there was a gathering of church members here. These were disciples. We don't know how many. It doesn't tell us. It really doesn't matter. But these were gathering together as the people of God should do. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, do not forsake the what? Assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but so much more as we see the day approaching. We need to be encouraged and lifted up by one another, because the days are getting evil, more evil, they're getting darker, and we need to be edified and built up by one another. But the reality of it is, and I have not seen the membership role here, but at my former church, we had two roles. One was an active member role, and one was an inactive member role. Guess one was, which one was twice as long as the other? Inactive. Had over 200 on it. If we were lucky, when I first started there, we might have 70 or 80 on a Sunday morning. Where were them other 200 plus people? Who knows? The FBI, CIA, and Homeland Security couldn't find them. I don't know where they went. It doesn't matter. But the reality is, some people may have moved away, and others may have passed away. But the reality of it is there were people who were still in the community who were on the church roll, but it seemed like nobody was going to get them and bring them back. I remember a day when Sunday was a holy day. You, probably many of you who are at least as old as I am or older, you remember a day when Sunday you couldn't hardly find a business that was open. Amen? Most everything was, you might find one or two gas stations in the town that was open, a 7-Eleven or something like that. But other than that, most of the grocery stores were shut down, all the restaurants, except for the ones that were really pagan, you know, that wanted to make the money off the church members. You wonder why people have to work at church. I mean, work on Sundays, but it's because the church members go to town to eat after Sunday school and after church. Amen? Let's be real. Amen? But I remember a time when Sundays were basically off limits for business. Nowadays, it's, you know, it's very rare, other than Chick-fil-A and a few others, that are closed on Sunday. And it seems like those are the businesses that are prospering ahead of the ones who are open 7 days a week. But you're going to have a whole other time, a whole other season. But the one point I'm trying to make is, today it seems like Sunday is a day to catch up on mowing the yard, washing the car, fixing stuff around the house. And if nothing else is going on in my life and social calendar, then I'll be at church. I read an article one time of a church member who wrote to his pastor and said, Pastor, I know you always preach on being faithful to church. And he gave a whole list of reasons why he was not, why he felt like he could be excused for not being at church. And at the end of the letter, he said, I'm going to be there at church on the fourth Sunday of February and on the third Sunday of September, unless providentially hindered. Because Christmas, you need the week before and the week after. New Year's, you needed Christmas, New Year's Eve and the day after to recover. And, you know, the holidays and everything else come around. And so their understanding was, to be considered a faithful member, they only had to show up 2 times a year. This young man, maybe he had worked all day long. We don't know. But he had worked probably all day long. He went to hear Paul's message. He had good intention. He was stuck on every word. But while he and the crowd was stuck on every word Paul was speaking, maybe he got warm. Because I know if you're like me, if I sit down in a recliner and my feet go up, guess what happens to my eyelids? They go down. It's just a fact of life, amen? That's what happens to me when you start getting older. Your feet go up, your eyelids go down. That's good. But this young man was sitting there. He was probably listening. But as you know, what happens after you sit there and get warm for a while? Even 30 minutes in our society today, they say the average span of attention right now in America is 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Here's the thing. This man had good intents. He was at the right place. And so many people come, even today and in other churches, and they're at the right place, but maybe their minds are filled with everything else. Maybe they've got good intentions, they're at the right place, but they can still be declining spiritually. They can still be dozing spiritually, even though they're in the presence of others, and even though they should be learning about God, there is those times. But we realize that this young man, he had gone to church. And sometimes we do the same thing. We come to church and we check off our box that we did our good deed for the week. And then we don't think anything else about church or Sunday school or anything until next Sunday morning. And many times we can sit in the church, and the best part about the service is the amen at the closing prayer, because we want to get back to doing what we want to be doing. Well, we realize that in verses 8 and 9, we see that there can be apathy against or among God's people. Eutychus literally fell out of church. He fell out. Now, as we think about this, we realize in verse 7, it says in some translations that Paul was long in his preaching. I like that. He was long in his preaching. But in the New King James, it says as he continued preaching. He was continuing past that time that would normally end. I know it, because even on Sunday mornings, if I get up here and preach, there's a certain time where I see most of people's headlights shut off, you know what I mean? You can tell after you've been up here long enough, you know, when people begin to shut down and start not blocking you out, but they're thinking about everything else they've got to do. But as we think about this, we realize that even we can begin to doze off spiritually. And when we do, it leads to declining. And usually those two steps go hand in hand, because as I said earlier, most people don't intend just to be out of church. It just happens over time. But you begin to make less priority of the things of God through prayer, through Bible study, through gathering. People that used to come three times a week start skipping Wednesday night, and they start missing Sunday nights. And pretty soon, it's not long until they do what? They miss Sunday morning or Sunday school, and then Sunday service. And then pretty soon, they look back and they're not there. But it all began somewhere before, where they began to doze off spiritually and became lethargic to the things of God and what they should have been doing. But then eventually it leads to dying. He was overcome by sleep. I like that. Because he began dozing. He began to go into that deep sleep. Y'all know what it is. We call it REM sleep today. You know, at first you're just dozing and your head bobbing up and down, you know, like a bobblehead. And then all of a sudden your eyes go shut, your eyes start flickering back and forth, and you start dreaming, and you're in that deep sleep. This young man was overcome. Maybe he had fault, because I'm going to tell you myself, I'm not one who likes to sit still unless I'm in my recliner. Amen. When I'm sitting in a pew listening to somebody, no matter how good they are, I my back gets to hurt, and I'm moving. I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm trying to pay attention and be a good pastor, a good pew member, right? I'm trying to do what is right, and I'm trying to take everything in, but there comes a point in time where if I get warm, man, it is hard for me to stay awake. And I understand. But as we think about this, we think about the declining, the dozing, the declining, and then eventually as we look at it, we realize that church was important to Jesus. And if it was important to him, shouldn't it be to us as well? Well, what happens? The dozing comes, the declining comes, and then the dying comes. And here again, I'm not saying that you lose your salvation, but as you look at this passage, you realize that when this man fell out of church, he was what? He was dead. There's no way. They took him up as dead. And I believe that it was Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit who was in him, who brought this young man back to life. Now, it doesn't tell us that, but as you read it, you have to realize everybody there thought he was dead, just like everyone thought Lazarus was dead. Amen? And Jesus called him out of the grave. Now, here's what I'm saying here, is that this young man was dead. When we fall out of church, our testimony is ruined. So how do you figure that? Have you ever known anyone to successfully live a God-filled, Holy Spirit-filled life who was not in church? It's hard. Why? Because God intended, God so designed the church that we encourage, we edify, we build it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And when we're not in the Word of God, our faith is not increasing. Unless you are spending a lot of time studying and maybe listening to preachers on the radio or TV, and you're truly filling yourself up, but you still cannot say that you are in fellowship as you should be with the people of God if you're not in church. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't like big crowds. Well, you're not going to like heaven at all. Amen? You're not going to like heaven. So, you know, maybe you got the ticket to the wrong place. I don't know. But hell's going to be filled with even more people. So, you know, choose wisely. But the point of it is simply this. We need each other. You can say all day long, preacher, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And can I tell you, you're right. But I think if you say those words with your mouth, if you mean them in your head or your heart, you're in open rebellion against the word and will of God himself. I can't stand those words. You know why? Because I used to say them myself. I used to sit on that deer stand on Sunday morning, and I knew I was supposed to be in church, and I told myself, I lied to myself, saying I can worship God just as God as good on the deer stand as I can sitting in church. But that is a lie from Satan himself. I know it, and you know it. This young man, he was in the right place. Maybe his heart and mind was in tune. But as you know, Jesus in our Sunday school lesson 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, rebuked his disciples, Peter, James, and John, for falling asleep when they were supposed to be praying. Y'all remember that? And he told them, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. And I look at this young man and I kind of think the same thing. His spirit was willing. He was in the right place doing the right thing. But his flesh was weak and he fell out. Not intentionally, but he did. In order to be falling out the window, he had to have been leaning out the window. Amen? Because it's hard just to sit in a windowsill just to decide, well, I'm just going to fall out. No, somehow he began to lean that way. And if we're not careful, we can set the table for the same thing in our lives with church attendance. We can start leaning that way. This little thing comes up, that little thing comes up. You know, it's kind of like having a credit card for emergencies. You know what I mean? Y'all never had that problem, amen? You get a credit card for emergencies, and what happens? Everything becomes a what? And pretty soon you say, I'm not going to get in debt with my credit card, but then pretty soon you don't just have one, you got two, you got three. And they're all maxed out, and you say, how in the world do I get out of this? That's the same way with our lives spiritually. We begin to lean that way, and we begin to do things we used to wouldn't do. We go places we used to wouldn't go. We say things we used to wouldn't say, and pretty soon we are out of the Word of God and out of the will of God. And we need to realize that, you know, it don't take much to lean the wrong way. We need to center ourselves up with the Holy Spirit and do what God wants us to do. We all know of people who used to be here. Can I tell you, it's my heart's desire that through this meal that we not only reach people who have never been in the doors of this church, but people who used to be here. Amen. It is a way to minister to them and say, listen, you know, we can forgive and we can move forward. Amen. But we're to do that as believers. Let's move forward. Let's don't keep looking back. Satan wants you to look back. Jesus wants you to look forward. And that's what he wants us to do. But listen to me. And here again, hear my heart on this. My last point is simply this, the compassion of the people. When this young man fell out the window, did Paul have to go down by himself?
No.
I want to take time to read this again. Okay? Y'all bear with me for a minute, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to do. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Somebody had to go down and get him to take him up, right? Somebody went down. But then it said in verse 10, but Paul went down, right? It does say Paul went down. Fell on, embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, because who was Paul speaking to here if nobody else was there? Right? Paul had been speaking to somebody. So do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him now. When he had come up, Paul, that is talking about, had broken bread and eaten and talked for a long while, even till daybreak. Paul departed, and they did what? And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Here's my point I'm trying to make here. There was compassion of the church members. The church members saw that somebody had fell out of church. Right? Not just the preacher. Somebody else had to go and help raise him up. Somebody else had to go and help bring him back in. And it was the compassion of the people who said their brother was in a bad situation and he needed help, he needed encouragement, he needed somebody to be with him to bring him back. And you know what? We have that same opportunity. Not just the preacher, because you know what people tell him? Well, that's what you get paid to do. That's what you get paid to do. But you know what happens when somebody else goes and sees them out of love, out of compassion? It shows them that you care. that they mean something to you and that you're willing to go out of your way. Maybe you're going to get dirty. Maybe you're going to get hurt in the process. Maybe you're going to get a little bit bloody and sweaty. But you know what? Ministering to people and work of the gospel is going to cost us. It's going to cost us our time, our talents, our treasures, and everything else. Man. So what do we do? What do we do? Where do we fit this morning? Some of us might have to admit, if we really searched our hearts, that we are declining. We're declining. We're beginning to doze off and decline at the same time because we're not where we used to be. You know what scripturally the word backslid means? It means that you were once one place and now you're not there anymore. You're down here. You have slidden back from where you once were. And if you can look at your life and you say, you know, I used to serve the Lord. I used to be here 3 times a week. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to do this. I used to do that. And if you're not doing it now, and I understand that physical limitations happen. I get that. But if we can look at our lives and say, I used to, and I'm not anymore, what happened? What happened? Can I ask you, are you studying the Word of God? Are you praying as you should on a daily basis? Are you in attendance to church to where you can be lifted up and encouraged to walk the Christian walk? Some of us would say, I'm kind of that one who's like you, because I'm in the window sill. I'm half in, I'm half out. Right? I'm half in, I'm half out. And maybe we say, well, you know, my lifestyle today is one that I'm more leaning out than in. And maybe we need to acknowledge that and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not being who and what you want me to be. Help me change to be the person, the man, the woman, the child you want me to be. Some of us would say, you know, I'm in church. Excuse me. I'm in church. I'm in the right place. But spiritually, I'm dying. Spiritually, I'm dried up. And maybe this morning you just need to come and say, Lord, I give it to you. I surrender my life. Not that you've lost your salvation, but maybe you just need to recommit your life to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to start again. Because guess what they did to this young man after Paul went down there and laid on him and embraced him? They brought him up. He was revived. Amen? What does it mean to be revived? Well, you had to be unvived or whatever to begin with. There was nothing in you to start with because it was gone, and now it is back in him. It is revived. He was brought back up, and they rejoiced with him. And you know what? We can do the same thing. When we bring somebody back into the fold, when we bring somebody back in who has fallen out, we can rejoice with them. And that last verse says, and they were not a little comforted. In other words, they were overcome with comfort and joy. They rejoiced in that man coming back into the fold. You know what? We can do the same. But we have to make an effort to bring them back in. We can't say, well, they used to be here, they're not here anymore, so what? My Bible tells me that Jesus will leave the 99 to go after what? The one. What are we willing to do? Where are you at spiritually? Are you falling out of church? Whatever decision the Lord wants you to make today, will you be faithful to make it? Will you stand with me? Our hymn invitation is hymn number 317 this morning. Only trust him. Only trust him. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we are going to this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you have your will. I pray that you have your way. Lord, I pray that as we've heard this message this morning, that our hearts have been stirred. And that, Lord, you have spoken to us. And Lord, we know what your will is for our lives. Lord, there's no doubt. There's only excuses or reasons. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to make the right choice today to follow you, to be all that you would have us to be. Lord, you died for the church. You died for us. And Lord, the least we can do is serve you by serving others in the church. Lord, I pray that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.